Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a Tuesday morning. Tuesday, September the 12th, 2023, 13 minutes past the hour, 64 degrees and rain in the Marion area. Well, in hour number one, you got a chance to hear from a Republican candidate for Mayor Bill Collins, Democratic candidate for Mayor Glenn Coble, and their feelings on just about everything from last night's city council meeting. I don't believe anybody else interviewed them last night as I was at that meeting. But a lot of interesting thoughts. Does anybody have any thoughts on those interviews now that we have a chance to talk about it? 740-751-4038. Phone lines are open. 740-751-4038. Now, we talked about the pay raise for the mayor, which that vote has now been pushed off to December 11th. We talked about yard signs being stolen. We talked about a whole myriad of things. And, you know, I was just sent a message here this morning, just so I make sure that I have my facts right, that the Coliseum this year will not be a polling place for Marion City for the first time in a long time, I do believe. Right now, it looks like the polling places in Marion City will be the Marion City Rec Building. Now, this was the whole issue last night, that apparently this has not been approved. Hopefully it will be, but right now it's being looked at. A lot of people from the city will vote at the Rec Center across from the Nazarene Church. Richland Road Church of Christ. Heritage Christian School out on Marion Williamsport Road, Hayes Elementary School over on Silver Street, and Harding High School. Those look to be the polling places that they're looking at here in Marion. But the Vets Memorial Coliseum, where so many people have voted for so long, will no longer be a polling place. Now, do you think this is going to confuse people as we head into the fall? People have been voting at the Vets Memorial Coliseum for quite some time now. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. If you have any thoughts on that, give me a buzz. Now, also, we learned in the interviews with Bill Collins and Glenn Coble that Glenn now says, we've asked him this before because of his age, being 77, I believe the oldest person ever to run for mayor in Marion. He would be 81 at the end of his first term if he did win this coming November, if he would run again. And he said in the interview, 99% chance that he's one and done, one term and out. Now, that's interesting. Because our last two mayors, Mayor Schertzer and Mayor Kellogg, both served for 16 years, four terms apiece. Does that mean anything to you? To have a person saying, I'm one and done, no matter what, 4 years, and I'm out. Also, Glenn says he would take either what the mayor is currently making, $69,000 a year or less, would not accept the pay raise if it is voted in December. Glenn also, during that interview, did elucidate to us that he did smoke marijuana. I did not ask him if he smoked marijuana, but he gave us that information nonetheless. And Bill Collins gave his answers that he is not taking down yard signs, that he and his wife are putting them out. Glenn's putting them in the wrong places. And Bill seems to feel that the pay raise is commensurate with what other city mayors are making. So that's what we learned this morning. Does anybody have any thoughts on any of that? All you Marion voters out there in the city and in the county. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Phone lines are open. Any thoughts on the interview with Bill Collins and Glenn Coble, your Republican and Democratic candidates for mayor, coming up this fall, less than 60 days away from now? Any thoughts at all? Now, somebody's got to have some kind of thought out there on this with 60 days left to go. Do you think Glenn's in trouble? Do you think Bill Collins has this all tied up? Does one and done mean anything to you? 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I'm not going to comment on the city issues because I live in the county, but as a voter, I will be voting, my wife and I, and we vote absentee ballot. But I was just wondering, have you voted at the Coliseum?
No, you know, I actually live in the county, too, and I vote at Dayspring.
Okay. I was just wondering, what kind of size of arena do you need to have a polling place? I know the rec building up there is many, many less square feet than that Coliseum. And so I don't see any issue in downsizing where you would have maybe parking availability might be the only difference in the voting. But why couldn't they... just have it, and they can, the city or something, they can put up some huge signs, this is the voting place instead of the Coliseum, and let the public know in the Marion area, anyhow, going up and down the street, so one sign ought to be sufficient
well,
60 well, to let them know where they would if they chose a different place, which they're going to have to, then it's not going to be the Coliseum, right?
Well, right, and I think the issue is this, is that I don't believe that all of the people who voted at the Coliseum are going to end up at the same place. It looks like some will end up at the Rec Center on Church Street, but some right. will also end up at the Heritage Christian School on Williamsport Road. And I don't think Harding High School has been used as a polling place, so they're opening that up as a polling place. So I think because of the size of the Coliseum that they're splitting it in three different places, so when you pulled up, if it says we don't vote here anymore, there's going to be three, and how will you know where to go, which precinct is where you are now? Now, they did say they were going to send a flyer out, and the reason they haven't sent it out yet is because they have not totally secured the rec center as of yet. And we're under 60 days to go. It's going to be very confusing for a lot of people who voted at the Coliseum for a lot of years now.
Well, I've been to the rec center, and I don't see where it'd be a matter of one day to secure that rec center as far as entrance, illegal entrance to somebody that's not voting or something troublesome going on that our law enforcement and everybody else involved can't make that situation safe.
Is that what they're No. The problem they're having with the rec center is the city, some years ago, leased the rec center out to Marion City Schools. So Marion City Schools is actually in charge of the rec center right now because they lease it from Marion City School. But are from the city, but apparently, this is what I got last, this is why it's good to go to a council meeting, I guess. Sure. What I learned last night was that apparently their lease ran out in August, and they're now on month to month, but apparently they have not received any payment for the month of September. So, and also, apparently, from what I heard last night, as part of their contract, which they did not have in front of them last night because they did not know this was going to come up, but apparently because Marion City Schools leases that from the city, they're not supposed to sublease it to anybody else, and this would be a sublease to the Board of Elections. So it's a confusing matter. Nobody knows if Marion City Schools is going to continue with the building. They weren't supposed to sublease it in the first place. And now the Board of Elections cannot get a callback, and nor can the city, from the Marion City Schools saying, are you going to keep the building and are we still good to do this? Which is why the flyers haven't went out letting people know of the change.
Well, that's the key issue then, the subcontract. Yeah, that's not anything. I thought I understood something about security the Coliseum, such a big arena and stuff, and so many doors, windows and stuff. They wanted to secure it more to have safety for the voters to not be subject to something violent, you know.
Well, that is true. That is why, because the city or the Board of Elections chose not to go to the back to the Coliseum, and that was the reason, security. But when they decided to go to these other places, apparently all the others are, they've made their deals there, so no problem there. But the rec center, that deal is not in place yet, so they can't tell people for sure this is where you need to go now, because they're not for sure.
Yeah, the availability of three or four locations around other than the Coliseum is great for other people in the county and city, you know, to distribute and go there more at their convenience than an issue of going 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 mile out of their way to go to one arena, you know.
Well, I just think the big problem is going to be this is an off-year election, nothing going on with the governor, nothing going on with the president, and I think that with less than 60 days left to go, if you get something in the mail with less than 60 days and it's saying you voted here all your life, now you need to vote here, not everybody reads every bit of mail that comes in. Maybe you don't know what your precinct is or your polling place is. That might be difficult to understand. It's going to be, I think, highly confusing for a lot of people, and I guarantee there'll be people who will show up to the Coliseum on Election Day, and it'll be all shut up.
Yeah, we'll have to have a revote to see if we can have another vote, wouldn't we?
Well, I when I asked Bill and Glenn about it, because I think it will affect voter turnout somewhat in the city, neither one, I guess they just said they need to tell their people where to vote. I don't know that that's practical with all the people that vote in the Coliseum, but maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I imagine we'll let the city of Marion and the council and them get on together again for a special session and get the thing settled immediately, if not sooner.
We'll hope. We'll hope.
Okay, Scott. Hey, and I'll give you a little thing about the South Marion islands and bars and stuff sticking up telling you which way to go. That isn't a drinking bar. That's just a post, I guess, to be more appropriate word to use. That they're forcing you. I looked at it yesterday when I was up there, and I said to myself, after I leave the light at Delaware and Barks Road, that intersection, if I want to forward north, I cannot go to any of the facilities there and then come back and go Barks Road, say, for instance, go west, which would be towards the post office. I have to go clear up. The only legal way of turning around on Delaware Avenue from Barks to up there to Boulevard is that's the only way to exit to go west over to Route 4. So you're forced to go, if you come out of, say, Wendy's there, at the east side facilities on Delaware Avenue, the east side facilities, once you come out of there, you're not going to turn and go south to go back and then to go to Barks Road to go west again. So there's all that mileage there that you got to go clear up to the Boulevard and over to the Route 4 and then go south again if you want to return back in the south direction of Marion. So it is a complicated thing. It's a long venture. And if you, they say, well, we can go right up there and turn around and so-and-so. That's all. That's not public area. That's people's businesses. They don't want 15,000 cars in a month's time going up around their businesses and stuff and turning to go just because they obstacle course there that you have to go that way. It's a more or less just forcing you to go to a one-way direction. I don't see where it's going to benefit that much, but yes, there is a terrific, real terrific cause of an accident. So if we're saving on an accident, I'll agree to go to the extra mile to keep from being in an accident, that's for sure. But that's the way I understand it. That's the way I look at it. You're not going to go north from Barks Road and turn to go west once you leave the north intersection of Barks Road. You know what I mean?
I do. And, I think it's just going to be complicated because I think somebody's going to try it. And eventually they're going to get hung up on those things.
Well, they aren't going to try it because you aren't going to try it because it's illegal. There's no way that you can turn there. I looked at it purposely to see. You can come out of Wendy's if the traffic is no traffic. You could come out of Wendy's and you could go up there just a little bit and you could make a turn and go around those posts and come back in a south direction. But that isn't no turnaround about, you know, they don't, I forget if they had, they don't have a yellow line there, so you're not crossing a yellow line to go in a different flow of traffic. So, but that isn't going to work because when you come out of Wendy's, you got just one car here and you got everything tied up. You're just a sitting target, you know?
I wonder how Sarah gets that bus around those islands.
Well, she's a bus driver. See, she's got no ways. No, you mean if she comes up that way and then has to turn and wants to go south, she's got to go clear up and over to Route 4 and then back down and come down around the other way. Yeah. Well, that'd be a good question to ask Sarah. I think if you stay on the course of the legal driving, you're not going to turn around in somebody's private business and they'll say, well, you come out. Business, if it wasn't for this, the driver might have said, well, I wouldn't have been in this wreck. I would have just turned around and come across like the old thing. They make excuses, but, you know, law enforcement say, you know, I've heard those for years and years and years. They don't hold up in court.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
All right, phone lines are open. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. 30 minutes past the hour here. I love to hear about Wendy. I love that name, Wendy's. You know, I love the sea salt fries. That's really what it's all about. Gotta love those sea and strawberry frosties. Who could forget that? I don't know how long they go on, but they are delicious. All right, 740-751-4038. Anybody have anything to say about the interviews this morning with Bill Collins and Glenn Coble that aired exclusively on this station about 40 minutes ago? Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, we haven't voted at the Coliseum for that long, really.
Well, you know, I every year, well, Sean Kraft, I mean, he's not going to hide it, no reason to hide it, but Sean has always voted at the Coliseum, and what normally happens on election day before we come in is he'll go with me to Dayspring, and I'll vote. And then we'll go out to his polling place, the Coliseum, and he'll vote. And then we'll get some dinner and we'll come to the studio for election night. And he's been doing that at least for 30 years at this point. And more than 30 years. And the people in Fair Park, huh?
It can't be 30 years.
Oh, at least more than 30 years. The people in Fair Park have voted in the Coliseum, I know, at least 40 years.
Well, some people in Fair Park might have, but I voted all my life, and I've never voted at the Coliseum. Now, in the last maybe 8-10 years, I have voted absentee ballot or go up an early vote, but I've never voted at the Coliseum. I have voted at churches around here. I have voted at legions around here. But I've never, ever voted at the Coliseum.
Well, that was about 10 years ago. But the north end of town, Fair Park in general, and I think some other areas over there, have voted at the Coliseum at least for 40-plus years. And the only thing that changed was... Now the south end of town and probably the west end changed a little bit. But the Coliseum has been used as a voting polling place for at least 40 years. Now, sometimes that has changed when they've restructured, but the problem is for people, let's just say 30 years, and I know they've been doing it for 30. So those people who've been voting there for 30, all of a sudden, we're less than 60 days away from the election, and they don't know where they're voting. They don't know that it's not going to be a polling place. The paperwork has not been sent out. And apparently, as near as I can tell, according to the Board of Elections, it's going to be split between three different places. The Rec Center on Church Street, the Heritage Christian School on Williamsport Road, and Harding High School, which I don't think has ever been used as a polling place in the entire time it's been there.
Well, it might be different for people, you know, north of town, you know, around the Fair Park area. I don't know, but, you know, I voted at two different churches here, and I voted at the Legion here, you know, and I've never voted it. When they took it to the Coliseum, is what their thoughts was there, that they had a place that was big enough for everybody. Everybody vote in one place.
Right, but not everybody did. I mean, I think Richland Road Church of Christ has always been used as a polling place for some of the city, like the 6th Ward. I believe they vote over there.
Not the last few years. Everything's been voted out there at that Coliseum. Everybody.
Well, but I vote. Well, the county doesn't.
Well, no, the county don't, but the city.
So you're saying all precincts were in the Coliseum?
Everybody in the last 8 or 10 years is, you know, the only place for you to vote is early voting and out there at the Coliseum.
Well, that's even worse then, because now
they,
it's going to be...
put everybody together, and everybody voted at that one place.
Well, now it's going to be worse, because now it's going to be Harding High School, Hayes Elementary on Silver Street, Heritage Christian School on Williamsport Road, Richland Road Church of Christ, and the Rec Center.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, and again, less than 60 days to go. They're not doing this a year ahead of time to let people know. We're talking 60 days till the election. And the only way you're going to know is if you get a mailer, and they haven't secured the rec center yet, which is why they haven't sent the mailer out.
Or unless you listen to WWGH.
Well, yeah, and it will help people. The word will get out, because, and we'll also run the story on the news, because it's very big news, but... city council didn't even seem aware of this last night, and how would they be aware of it until
on voting day? I hope they put signs out there at the Coliseum. You know, if somebody shows up, it'd be nice for them to have a sign and tell them what's going on, instead of showing up out there and there's nothing out there. There's nobody. You can't get in. You know, whatever. I mean, they should have some, you know, something up there telling you what to do so you can, and with the different polling places, you know.
Well, that's a good idea, but, I mean, like a person? Because a sign, I don't think, is going to work, because if we're taking one and splitting it into five, you can pull up there and say, this is not a polling place anymore. But a lot of people have no idea what precinct they're in. I mean, there are different, so who's going to be out there with the book saying, okay, well, you're in the 1st Ward, so you need to go to the Heritage Christian School. And you're in the 3rd Ward, so you need to go to Silver Street. And that is going to be a mess.
Yeah, they're not going to have a person out there. They could have a sign stating the different polling places. And
but people don't know their polling
place. You show up at a polling place and you don't vote there, you know, they'll get you to the right place, because there'll actually be somebody there.
Well, but it's a, okay, let's start here. Like Richland Road Church of Christ. Well, that's a bad example. Let's go to one here that actually, okay. Harding High School. 1A, 5A, 5B, 6C, and 6D will vote in at Harding High School. Now, okay, you may know you're in the 6th Ward. You may know you're in the 5th Ward. You may know you're in the 1st Ward. But do you know A, B, C, or D?
Right.
How are people going to... They'll be driving all over town. And in an off-year election, are people going to do that?
Well, if they are that firm on the issues, you know, they'll do that. But a lot of people just say, well, heck with it.
Well, the recreational marijuana and abortion issues, I think, will drive people more than the local issues, but... Boy, that is a for a mayoral election to have that be the year that you're going to change the polling place. That's not good. And why last minute like this? I mean, I don't understand that.
No, I think it's bad, you know, being, you know, at the last minute like this. But
well, did you hear the interviews with Bill and Glenn from last night?
Yeah.
Well, any thoughts on those? Bill doesn't give too many interviews, and Glenn opened up a little more last night with less than 60 to go. Well, what were your thoughts on Bill Collins' answers on all the questions?
I think he answered everything well, you know. The pay raise, he really didn't have a whole lot to say about that, you know. But he is right, you know. There's other towns that are comparable to our size that I know they're mayor. Well, I don't know for sure, but, you know, their mayors are making more money.
But is their money similar to ours? Have they lost a bond rating in the last few years? Are they going to have trouble borrowing money?
That's true, too. But when people go to vote, they ought to keep this in back of mind. Why did we lose the bond rating? Why is this costing us money?
Well, you know, the funny thing.
Which party did it to us?
Well, the funny thing about that is that was a different auditor. That was Robert Landon. But the current auditor, who I met last night for the first time, Miranda McGinnis, she's running unopposed. So if you don't like the auditor, doesn't really matter. You're going to get her because she's the only person running for that office.
Right. There's no choice. We're going to have a Republican auditor.
Independent. She's become an independent.
Become independent.
Well. Yeah. But regardless from that, that's what you thought about Bill. What'd you think about Glenn?
Well, I like Glenn. I want to see him get it, and I'm going to vote for him. But I don't think he should have come out and said he pretty much expects to be a one and done. Myself, I don't. It's hard for a candidate to make much change in one term, you know, and...
Well, does his age...
If a president can serve two terms, you know, they can get something done, but just serving one term, it's hard to get a whole lot done.
I think a lot of this with Glenn, clearly his age. He'd be 81 when the term is over. So does age work against him?
Well, I think it could. Especially with all this talk about the, you know, the age of Trump and Biden,
yeah, and McConnell and Feinstein,
have to work against him a little bit.
I don't know. Do you like the idea that the last two mayors have served for 16 years apiece, 32 years for two mayors?
Yeah, I think if you got a mayor's doing a good job, first of all, you pay him, you know, what, you know, other towns our size get, and you keep him on.
Well, maybe the citizens don't care about the money. Maybe they think the mayor does deserve $110,000.
I mean, $110,000 might be a little bit on the top end, but it doesn't bother me that the mayor's getting a pay raise. I mean, there's people in... There's teachers that make $69,000 a year.
Yeah, but I think
any superintendent in Marion County doesn't make less than $100,000.
Yeah, but I think what we're looking at here is what does the mayor currently make? Why are we jumping this $40,000 in one term? Why? I believe Jack Kellogg told me in an interview not too long ago when he started back in '92. I think he said he made $29,000 a year. So from 92 to 2023, it went up $40,000. So what is that? That's 31 years. Took to go up $40,000, and we're going to go up $40,000 in a year.
Yeah,
I think it's the relative nature of it. What have we been paying the mayor here? Have we got a bad mayor for paying them that amount of money? And... why is this being done? Now, obviously, Jason Schauber says it's all just to give their buddy an extra $40,000. Clearly, Bill Collins doesn't feel that way, but that's the word on the street.
Well, it does look bad, I mean. And, you know, a lot of it could be that they're doing it, you know, because they want to give their buddy a raise, too. But, you know, it's... There's people in other professions that are making way more than that $69,000 a year, and to get a quality candidate, You know, these days, you're going to have to pay for it.
But I think now, see,
one person has been in positions of different levels, like a superintendent or whatever they're doing, and they're making that big money. What are they going to say? Well, I would like to help the city. Oh, no, I can't work for that.
But you know the thing about it is, Mary Ellen Withrow said when she started as state treasurer, the pay was $50,000, state treasurer, $50,000 a year. She has said she feels the pay raise is too much. Jack Kellogg has said he feels the pay raise is too much. Mayor Schertzer has said he feels the pay raise is too much. And nobody, if money attracts better candidates, money certainly didn't attract Mayor Schertzer, didn't attract Mayor Kellogg, didn't attract Mary Ellen Withrow. I mean, did we get bad candidates? I mean, do you think we have better candidates now than we had 30 years ago?
Oh, no.
So money obviously does not attract.
Did it because they wanted to serve and make a difference.
So where are those people?
Yeah, where are those people? We need more of those people. But if we have some of those, you know, we need to reward them and let them know, you know, we are happy with their, you know, them, you know, serving us.
Well, as long as the city thinks it's okay, as long as the voters think it's okay, I guess it'll be okay.
That could have been done in steps, too. I think they should have tried doing it in steps because they knew a sudden $40,000 raise is going to draw attention.
Well, it was supposed to be done in steps. They were supposed to go up to $75,000 this coming January, which was already voted on, so from 69 to 75. And then in 3 years, it would go up to 110, and hopefully that would attract better candidates. The confusion is why they've just decided to do away with the 70,000 and go right to 110, and how are they going to attract better candidates? We already know who the candidates are this year.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So those are the questions, but thanks for calling.
Yep.
Phone lines are open here, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. We always enjoy hearing from you, the listening audience. 45 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. Talking about our exclusive interviews earlier this morning with Democratic candidate for mayor, Glenn Coble, Republican candidate for mayor, Bill Collins, from last night's city council meeting. Got their thoughts on just about everything, from pay raises to signs being stolen to does it matter that Glenn Coble says one and done as mayor? 99% chance, one and done, one term and out of there. Does it matter that he smoked marijuana? We did not ask him that, but he offered that opinion regardless. 740-751-4038. Any opinions on this or the polling place change, which certainly is becoming an issue, no longer voting at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum? And how will that all shake out in the end? Now, the other issues this morning, the Busy Bee convenience store, where Certified used to be on Main Street, opening soon, so says the sign, over by Boyd Funeral Home. The new Islands, or whatever you call those things, on Delaware Avenue near Wendy's and Arby's and McDonald's. Is this the help? Is this a good thing? And, of course, our Friday night show and our mayoral candidates. If you've wanted to get in on this, give us a buzz, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. 47 minutes past the hour here, 65 degrees and light rain in the Marion area. I don't know. You know, I think it's all fascinating. Where are we headed from here? I don't know. But I do think that people who vote at the Coliseum are probably going to be a little bit confused. Now, hopefully we will push the word that the Coliseum is not going to be a polling place anymore. I assume the Marion Star will do a story on that at some point. And
hopefully people will get something in the mail when they secure the new polling place. But I think it does. Anybody think it will not be a well? I guess the last caller didn't think it'll be a problem. But do you think it will be a problem changing the polling place? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Give us a buzz if you have any thoughts on anything. Those two interviews with Bill and Glenn that aired in hour number one. Would love to get your thoughts on those. Oh, you know what? We did have a Family Feud question yesterday that we did not get the final answer for. Maybe we'll give this a shot. Name something in a bakery that a baker might call his wife. Now, we had honey buns, his oven, sweetie, cupcake, muffin, sugar, and donut. But we do not have the last answer yet. Does anybody know what the last answer is with 11 minutes left to go in this day? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Name something in a bakery that a baker might call his wife. Honey bun was number one, 32 people said that. His oven was number two, 9 people said that. Sweetie was number 3, cupcake, muffin, sugar, donut. One answer left. Go ahead, caller.
About candy.
No candy.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
No candy on the list here today. But we're still moving along. 740-751-4038. Who's got that final answer? Name something in a bakery that a baker might call his wife. All right, maybe this person's got the correct answer. Go ahead, caller.
How about sweetie pie?
Not sweetie pie. Good guess. No sweetie pie on the list here today. Name something in a bakery that a baker might call his wife. Honey buns, his oven, sweetie, cupcake, muffin, sugar, donut. Those are the answers we have. One answer left to go. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. What is the final answer? Something in a bakery that a baker might call his wife. Well, every time we get down to the final answer, it becomes a much more difficult proposition here. Honey bun ran away with it. 32 people said honey bun. Oven, number 2. Let's see here what we've got coming in. Maybe a right answer. Go ahead, caller.
How about cookie?
Not cookie. Good guess. No cookie on the list here today. Name something in a bakery that a baker might call his wife. Honey buns, his oven, sweetie, cupcake, muffin, sugar, donut. It's the final answer on the list, number 8. 740-751-4038. Does anybody know what it is? 740-751-4038. About 8 minutes left to go in the broadcast here today. All right, go ahead, caller.
Let's try Doughy.
Doughy is the... Now, who in the world calls somebody Doughy?
Is this an answer?
Yep, that was it. Doughy. D-O-U-G-H-Y.
I thought this can't be. I'm trying to think flour, not flour, but I was going to say shoe fly or crumbs. I thought, well, I'll just say doughy.
Doughy? Now, but I cannot picture somebody calling somebody doughy. Hey, doughy, come over here.
No, I know people that have called people cookie. I couldn't believe that wasn't one besides, you know, cupcake or something. But doughy, I thought, now this is stupid, but.
Well, hey, we're. Yeah. Hey, did you have any thoughts on Glenn Coble, Bill Collins, or the polling place change?
Scott, I didn't get up till 8:30 today because I went out last night and mowed. It takes me a couple hours. I must have been tired because I didn't wake up till 8:30, but I'd like to hear him. But I heard Glenn, and I don't see when I say things. When I said those three people, what was it? That Feinstein and all those.
Right.
Well, you said they're Democrats. Well, I don't care. You know, Oz and that guy he ran against, Fetterman. When you can't talk and do your job, you don't need it. And Pelosi's daughter is taking care of that Feinstein lady. And they say that some of them, their staff, are doing their work for them, voting for them and stuff. You know, you don't vote for the staff. And what? If Glenn, if he's in one term, maybe he could do what a person that would be there 2 or 3 years, maybe they could do it in one term. You know, everybody doesn't do it the same. And that McConnell, I think that's his name or something, where he freezes up. I'm thinking that anybody, especially president and different ones, should be given a test. And not no 60, 70, 80. People get that, what do you call that, dementia stuff? Rita Hayworth did in her 40s. They need to give it to everybody.
Well,
and then there won't be anything said about it.
Well, no, what I was saying Friday about when you mentioned the three Democrats, the problem I was having was this, because we have done the story on the air about Biden and people saying that he was going to die in his second term, so we shouldn't elect him because of his age. And we did do the story on Warnock, who ran against Dr. Oz, I believe, who had had the stroke, and would this work against him, and so on and so forth. So the problem I was having was we were doing the story on Mitch McConnell, and instead of people commenting on should Mitch McConnell step down, should he run again, everybody was just saying, well, what about the Democrats? What about the Democrats? But I want to know about Mitch McConnell. Now, we can talk about the Democrats, but the question
was...
Yeah,
Mitch McConnell. Now, what they need to do is testing, because, I mean, if he's got stuff like this going on and things, he can't do the job. I mean, if he's going to freeze up and he's in his office, nobody knows it, you know, and different stuff. I'm talking about them as a group. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat and stuff. When you can't do the job... Just like that guy that gets, what's his name, Berman or something, his wife was there helping him. Well, if you need help, and those people are silly enough to put him in, he shouldn't even be allowed to run.
Well, doesn't that become...
I don't care who it is. It could be a mob, somebody really bad, and they let him put him in. They just need to test him because, you know, dementia, you never heard of this stuff. And people, they say, are getting it in their 30s. And I know Rita Hayworth in her 40s and stuff.
But isn't this the point, though?
You can't do the job, just like Glenn. If he knows he can do the job now, when he's 81 and stuff, it's going to be hard. But what I'm saying, to me, you know, if he can't get around and stuff, he ought to know enough to not to run. But if he thinks he can do the job, and they vote him in, and then he's pretty sure in 4 years, when you get, I'll be 80, and I can't do it. The last 3 or 4 years, I went downhill like crazy. I can't do what I used to do. And you have to be on it. You know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to say.
Right, but I guess we leave everything up to the voters. And if they don't want these people, they don't have to vote for them, and they do. And, you know, we'd have to question every election then, because if you question it on age or you questioned it on competency, then people are going to say, well, why is anybody voting for anybody? Maybe they're just out of their head. They don't understand that that's a bad candidate. We voted, I mean, a lot, and I'm not saying my opinion on this, but the last time we voted for auditor, we had an auditor in there who was at least a three-term incumbent who had been doing the job at least fairly well. And we voted for a new auditor who didn't even last a year and had to resign. Now, that had nothing to do...
I think they got after her because she was behind on... I don't know if they do court cases, the one that does court cases.
No, that was the clerk of courts. She had to go as well. But there's another example. She, the clerk of courts woman, and I can't think of her name off the top of my head, but everybody knew she was behind. It was pointed out at the League of Women Voters she was behind. And you know what? She still won her election. So,
and this other one is it the auditor that what's his name was? They're having trouble with her. That's what I said. You know, I don't know. It's just like maybe people make mistakes and maybe there's so much more stuff anymore, you know, and different stuff. But I'm going to tell you here, when you get a chance, you get on, and I don't know what news channel it is, where you get on, you know, like they couldn't get Trump out of the White House after his term. you get on and you listen to Obama, where he said if he could run for a third term, how he would do it exactly. He would use an earpiece, and they said of all the presidents ever, he's the only one that's staying in Washington. Now, you get on and you listen to his, it's just a short interview that with this reporter, and you would swear that he is doing this.
Well,
and I don't know what news station it is. I don't know if you could bring that up somehow or what.
Yeah,
I've seen it two or three times.
I tell you,
you got to trust the people. And, you know, like, if you're going to be a politician, you're not I don't like lobbyists. You contact your congressman and senator just for the people. They're not for the schools, unions, and they're not for the big companies. They're for us, and the little people get left behind.
Hey,
lobbyists are up there, you know, and stuff. Why get started on that stuff?
No, I understand. We're running out of time here. We're down to under a minute. But thanks for calling, and we'll continue tomorrow.
Okay, goodbye.
All right. Under a minute here. Okay. Well, again, I hope you enjoyed the show today. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Bill Collins and Glenn Kobel, Republican and Democratic candidates for mayor. You're only going to get those here. I was there last night. Nobody else was talking to them. So hopefully that helped this morning, and hopefully you got to hear them. We'll replay those hopefully right after this. So if you didn't hear Glenn and Bill, you overslept this morning or got up late, it'll play next hour. I'll set it to play next hour. So Judy, if you missed it or anybody else missed it, we'll play it next hour so you can hear it again. All right. Well, Vets Memorial, not going to be a polling place anymore. Tell your friends. Now, where we're going to vote, we're not sure yet. So as soon as I know, I'll let you know. And beyond that, I'll be back tomorrow morning, and maybe we'll talk some about the Old Farmer's Almanac and maybe play some more Family Feud. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to The Talking Place. Just listen to former star of The Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.
I made it up.
Really?
My name is Margaret. And I thought that was too mouthy. Margaret Bradley. There's no rhythm to it. Of course, it